Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Delta Green Box Gaming content.
Welcome back. Welcome back, joked. Everyone.
We told Dace that he was running this session and he had a stroke.
Yeah.
He got
he had some. I think he threw a clot. So
half of my face is limp.
So
I'm doing great today.
So those Benji fans out there, get your fill today.
Get ready.
Because we're not going to be able to do it again. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Joe, and I will be handling today. You're joining us for Impossible Landscapes, and I'm here with my incredible friends, like Jean, Blaine Benedict.
Hi.
John, did you say something?
I did.
Link,
oh, okay. Hi. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
Good.
Link, if you can hear us, man.
Link, if you're safe. And of course, by Brad playing. Hey.
Hello. Hello.
And then naturally, the one who's running everything today, Dace playing Benji. Of course.
Yes. 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 We're in fine form today. Everything is okay. And we didn't start.
I promise you that my alarm went off precisely when I intended it to, and and you know, and I didn't show up here late. And apparently, and between me and Dace, we're definitely the most reliable and most professional people here.
Absolutely, absolutely,
without a shadow of a doubt. Guys, I'm sitting here. It's a little earlier than usual. Where I am, and I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and I recently decided that I was gonna spend a bunch of money on getting like a good espresso machine, and I'm gonna dive into the world of espresso. Let's check out what the espresso community is like, and man, was I not prepared.
Oh wow, yeah,
like oh
that's
man,
the
like
deep
these
end.
People. These people are serious, like big time. Cool. Like even the like so like I got like a nice grinder, which is not the app. That was something like something for, else. for coffee.
Have you had much luck on Grindr?
Have you had much luck with your Grindr?
Here it's easier to hook up on Grindr than it is on Tinder.
Maybe, I don't know, but. But, like, I was looking at machines, and I'm basically have told myself, like, I need to buy, like, a used machine because espresso machines are so insanely expensive. But funnily enough, like, the whole experience of, like, I don't know, like, going through the process and, like, learning all this stuff about, oh, like, why do you use a bottomless basket on your espresso machine? Like, how do you get a good tamp? Oh. And ooh. Stuff like that.
I'll tell
pretty
you.
Sure, bottomless basket is like I'm pretty sure that is. I saw that on a Grindr profile.
Not my profile.
Here's the thing that I found, Joe. With anyone that has an espresso machine, every time I visit their house, there's something messed up with it.
It's all fun.
It's like a
ice cream machine at McDonald's.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
It's always fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know if that's happened for you yet. And then also, I don't know why I thought this. I found this out years ago, but for some reason I was like, this is stupid. But I was like, I thought there was like some special beans you had to have or something for espresso. Like there's something different about espresso than coffee, but it's just coffee, you know, finely ground. I didn't know. For some reason, my mind was like, oh, it's you have to have a
well,
certain kind
actually,
of bean for it to
actually,
be espresso.
Brad, like, you really need beans that have been roasted in the last 3 to 4 weeks at the most.
Don't, please, we can't actually, get Joe started on this. And, I don't want him to be one of those people. No offense to any of those people, but it's a lot, and we only have limited time in this podcast.
Well,
this will become a coffee podcast if we go down this road.
Oh, my God. But, like I said...
For it to be technically espresso, it needs to be French beans ground, hand ground by mine.
Hand ground by
in Paris.
Can you imagine a business model where you're painted like a mime and you just go to people's houses like between 5 and 9 o'clock in the morning and you just stand outside?
They're very quiet. They don't make a sound.
Yeah.
There's a market for this, definitely.
There's a market for this. But you know, Silence grinders.
That's a whole other thing. It's also a new app.
It's just also a new app, just for weird mimes. Anyway, but like, you know, I'm not like even off into espresso, like not even a little bit. Like I'm like, okay, like I could get a machine and replace the OPV valve, you know, to make sure it hits the appropriate pressure and stuff like that. Like I'm pretty handy. I can deal with electrical stuff, and I could, you know, and I don't know. It just seems like a, kind of like a fun thing, but to that end, Reddit being what it is, r/espresso has been simultaneously extremely helpful and also made me lose a lot of faith in humanity. Mm-hmm. For the amount of the amount of vitriol that people exchange.
Yeah. They're vicious.
Not even like you like dark roast and you're doing it at 9 bar. Oh, what a pleb. Not even like people who know what they're talking about, but like people who are being shitty to people who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And who are trying to come in here. Yeah. I don't know, like do you guys have anything like that, like something that you tried to get into and that like the community was so toxic that you're almost like, I don't even know if I want to do this, like just because like the people around it have kind of killed it. I know that's kind of a vague one.
Delta Green.
Touché. You win this time.
No, that is really interesting though. Like, I typically lean on Reddit for a lot of things. Like, where am I going with this? The few times that things come up on Reddit that I actually know about, like welding or something, like there's a lot of misinformation. Like the loudest people are heard the most.
And then you're the well, actually you need to use a TIG welder for that application.
Well, Dace, you know that there's tons of people like that. There's every opinion you can imagine under the sun when it comes to guitars, anything music related.
I don't know, like is there something about like expertise or niche value or like niche interests that just attract like like uncouth weirdos?
No, it's just humans. This is just constant across any field.
Well, you know,
when
there's
somebody
like,
thinks there's wait, like, I have an example. Politics.
Well, yeah. Let anybody, Sean speak, Brad.
Does
Jesus.
Anybody know shit about politics? No, you don't. But everybody has not really. massive opinions.
Everybody has a pop.
Yeah, that's so true.
There's also this thing, you know, whenever you get into something, it's like, there's like this hump where it's like, whatever, you're really enthused about espresso, and you've been researching a lot, and you, when you start off and you've been researching some, you think you know a shit ton, and then the more you know about anything, it like goes down, and you're like, you know, if you're a master at something, you're like, I really know nothing about this. So it's probably
the hubris of like when you're a 18-year-old, you think you have everything figured out, and then you just get slammed in the face with a mace of life.
Right.
And you're like, oh.
Well, I guess it's like there's like an old saying, it's like an ounce of knowledge makes an expert or something like that.
Yeah. So maybe a lot of people giving their opinion are on this little hump.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it's, and again, it's like, and not that there wasn't a lot of help, and like, and don't get me wrong, like, Reddit is just, it's not a good place to observe the best that humanity has to offer. Like, it can be, like, sometimes you can see some really awesome stuff, some people, like, really coming out of the woodwork just to help someone for, you know, no reason. every now and then. But like,
can I give my favorite Reddit story?
I would love to hear this. I wonder if I've heard this before.
This is classic Reddit. Ask Reddit. It's like,
okay,
it's about dirty talk.
Okay. Let's keep it between the lines.
Well, it's not going to be between the lines. But like, it's about dirty talk. It's like this one guy, like, you know, his girlfriend was interested in experimenting with dirty talk, and he had never done it before.
Okay.
And like, in the heat of the moment, he got some lines crossed, and like, uh-oh, you know, when it was like climaxing, he was like, "You like that, you fucking retard?"
Oh no!
Oh
no!
Oh no!
Oh jeez!
And you're telling me, are you implying that killed the mood? Is that?
It's like, God, that just killed me.
Wait a second. What was the post? Was this the post? Was this the Ask Reddit post? Like, Reddit?
No, it's just like a comment buried in the comments.
Is that an okay thing to call your girlfriend in bed? Did she overreact? Or is it like, am I the asshole?
Did she
like,
overreact?
Am I the asshole?
No, I mean, you can see how it could happen. It's like,
of course, you know,
if the chick is into that, like, you want to call her a dirty whore.
John
or something.
John had to turn away from the screen.
Oh my god, I'm just but hoping no, just the segue is gonna come soon. I don't know where this is gonna go.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Oh god. You know one thing I really do like, I love about the Am I the Asshole post is like, and every now and then I'll go and you know, I'll go and just like read one kind of here and there, like if I'm bored. Like, I don't stay on it all the time. But one of the best things I love about Am I the Asshole is how people will, because it's almost like a tradition on Am I the Asshole, like for the person who's posting and asking if they're the asshole to say, to like not give all the details, like they only give like the very, oh, this makes
there's
me look good size, but
they're
then people ask
total
questions and they divulge, you know. It's like, and if you're gonna like try to not be the asshole, like just lie about it when people ask questions. But they don't, they answer the questions. They're like, well, yeah, maybe I did call her that. And you know, or like, or whatever, and then people are like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, it's just almost like I don't know. And I think a lot of the stuff on there is probably fake. Like a lot of situations
definitely
are probably made up.
Good,
but it's God, it's so good.
I wonder if that subreddit has ever actually changed anybody's opinion about themselves.
Like, if anyone's taken in the, like, taken in the what the community has said and been like, wow. Like, I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, probably not. And all this from espresso. Just look what we've done. Look what they did to my boy.
You like that, you fucking retard?
Oh, God.
Never bring up espresso again, Joe.
Never bring up espresso.
I've warned you.
Yeah. John warned us. Anyway, speaking of people who think they might have things figured out when they really, really don't, let's talk about Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. How about that?
Ooh.
All right. Not bad.
Okay. Cool.
I also apologize for using the R word. I know that's canceled.
You've already been canceled, my guy. Come on.
Yeah. And the key is to not apologize.
Canceled.
You just, that's how the world works. Never apologize. Yeah.
Steve, you can check one off on the bingo box when Dave says something extremely insensitive.
Right. All right, last time, guys. The crew, Hank, Benji, and Benedict, you guys are in the night world. And you're in the hotel Broad Albin. I'm not going to go through everything that brought you here. God, no. But since you've been here in the Broad Albin, you guys have been, like, at the very end of when you guys escaped the Dorchester, you guys had received this missive, supposedly from Abigail Wright, of all people, kind of telling you all the stuff you need to do. You know, that you need to find the hotel, that you need to find, you know, all these different things. Find the dance, the ball, and the bottle, the rider, and all of these things. It's kind of giving you this guide, this little bit of a kind of a vague roadmap on where you're supposed to go. Since you guys got to the Broad Albin, you have managed to basically get Hank completely healed up, which has been nice because he did completely die and then he almost died. So it was good to get him back up. You guys have seen some new faces, some old faces, and have continued to be drawn into the just... I don't know. I really don't have a better word. It's just the unnatural shenanigans that is to be kind of the between the worlds like you are in the Hotel Broad Albin. You guys were trying to find the labyrinth. You know you're supposed to go to the labyrinth, and you guys have kind of figured out that you need to find a bottle in the labyrinth. Along the way, you guys have heard the name J.C. Lin several times. You guys have said, okay, we need to find J.C. Lin's bottle. Last time we were together, you guys had recently killed your NPC pet, Rovan Lobolus. You had managed to get him mind whammied, and then you physically beat him half to death. And you gave him kind of...
Again, I'm sorry. Like, how would am you I the asshole? I think you need to, like, give the whole picture there, okay?
Proper am I the asshole post.
Classic am I the asshole post. You guys have... and you went with Charlie. And Charlie was basically intimidated by you guys. Not that you necessarily went out, you know, put out to... Or went out of your way to intimidate him. But he was intimidated by you guys. He's like, okay, I'll take you to the labyrinth. On the way there, you guys pass through a ballroom, which was, by the way, a chance encounter. Like, I rolled a dice to see if you guys were going to go there or not, and you ended up going there. You guys went there to get to the labyrinth. You encountered some of these marionettes. As has been discussed, you guys were totally paranoid and assumed that was some type of trap. I think that's outlandish. Mm. I don't think that those things would have come to life and eaten at least one of you at all. Mm. Not even
eaten
a little bit.
You say.
I definitely don't think they would have killed at least one of you and then taken your clothes and put your clothes on one of the mannequins. I don't think that would have happened. That's silly, Jean. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm presumptuous.
Yeah.
And scrumptious.
So... And scrumptious.
If someone's gonna eat me at the bull, I must be scrumptious.
Okay. Then Charlie took you guys to the labyrinth, and you guys got the labyrinth, and it was very unlike anything else you'd seen in the Broad Albin. It seems to be like these tunnels carved into stone. And lo and behold, they're a little funny. The place is a little funny to navigate, but you guys had a little bit of equipment. You guys had actually talked about, you'd actually seen down here previously, because you'd seen Mark Rourke and an unknown woman down here. You guys kind of got down here, you got a little bit lost, and you came across a waiter. A waiter who gave you a small hors d'oeuvre, but a waiter speaking in Carcosian, gave you a small hors d'oeuvre, and who else is going to put something strange in their mouth than Benji Potts? Benji Potts just pops one of those things in and rolls a very, very well-timed sanity check pass, giving him a sudden rush of insight onto how to travel deeper into Carcosa.
Yes.
And comes to the conclusion, it needs to be dark in here. And you guys turn off your light. I believe Benji smashes his headlamp. And then you guys turn off old Hank's light as you hear the sound. This sound you know only too well. This mannequin moving sound. and this rustling of a robe as Hank hears up around his ear, "Hank Ellis, come and see. Come and see." And that is where we left off. So, gentlemen. Nice. Gentlemen, you are in the Whispering Labyrinth. It smells stale, but kind of dank. And right now you are standing in the pitch black. And Hank Ellis has just had someone basically... And by the way, you guys can probably hear the whisper as well. And, you know, if this were being filmed, if this scene were being filmed, it would probably be in, like, night vision. You know, like, the lights would have gone out. And there'd be like a night vision filter over this of you creepy. You guys standing there with, like, you know how when people are in night vision, like in IR, like it reflects off their eyes, and you guys are just standing in the dark, wide eyed, and this figure just kind of kind of out of the darkness kind of floats up behind Hank, and it has this
particular reference, but there's a scene when. In Dexter's laboratory where he goes to basically like Chuck E. Cheese and this like big rat comes out of nowhere and just like grabs him and then pulls him into the dark because he's like he's wrecking the machines. It's
like a whole deep cuts. Deep cuts.
That's what I'm picturing.
I could have swore he was about to make a Congo reference. I was
no, we're done with it. You brought it up, Joe. I'm done with it.
He promised us.
He promised us no more Congo.
Bring up Congo again.
So I guess Hank will be like, "Do you hear that?"
Yeah. Rustling of cloth. You think it's the song?
No, the whispering.
Oh no, I didn't hear none of that. You ever watch Dexter's Lab when you were a kid?
Hank, damn it, turns around and turns on his light. I'm assuming the whispers come from behind.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
I don't.
No, okay. Takesie backsies.
Oh no.
Well, Hank's paranoid now. He's waiting for some like
that makes a lot of sense in Hank's world. But I can see this is gonna be bad.
Yeah,
Takesie backsies.
We should have smashed his light.
Do you have your character sheet pulled up? Because you're about to roll a sanity check.
You're about to roll a dodge.
Oh, God. Okay. Let me look at this real quick.
I guess there's no stopping him. There's no stopping him. I'm too far away and it's in the dark.
Is there a paragraph in this module that's like, if the idiot decides to shine a flashlight
into some Indian
the funny thing is, is that's very much how Delta Green modules are written. It'll be like, agents who are foolish enough to look in the footlocker are surprised.
I mean,
are surprised to have their fate for a rat to come out of the shadows and to pull them into the shadows.
Agents who are dumb enough to take the dead body
of the child to take him back to the house. Okay, so okay, Hank is going to turn the lights on, and when you, so like I imagine Hank like reaches because it's like a lamp on your kit, right? Like on your chest.
Sure. Yeah,
it's like a flashlight. You click it and you like turn towards the voice, I assume, like to illuminate. Okay, when you do, you see the pale kind of flat mask. You know, the mannequins that you guys have seen around, you know, none of them have faces really drawn on. The closest you'd really kind of seen to that was in Charlie or Guido Antonucci's room. You know, he had all these that he had drawn on, but they were like little puppets. You know, they weren't these the full-size mannequins. This one has a mask on, and it is this pale light-colored, very placid kind of humanoid-looking face. But as you turn, it's not the mask that is surprising to you. Previously, when you guys saw this thing, you guys went to the room and you fixed the room. And you saw this thing kind of rise up from a bundle where it just kind of been, you know, all collapsed, you know, into a pile. You know, it's covered in these purple robes. It had been, you know, kind of normal man-sized. When you turn your light, you see that indeed the head, the mask, is right near your shoulder. It's just right here, you know, kind of right near, you know, where someone could have whispered into your ear. But the rest of the body is distended back. Probably, and it's almost like this entire shape of this thing is like almost like a hand puppet on the end of something larger, and it's being like extended out from the darkness toward you. And as you shine back, there is. You guys know the sound when someone doesn't know how to drive a stick shift well and you grind between gears?
Yeah.
Like, imagine the hardest gear grinding you've ever heard. Like, high-pitched and extreme. Like, as the light goes back and slaps this thing, as it pulls back, like, into the darkness, like it's being pulled back by a chain, almost, or, like, by a rope. Yeah. I would like all of you to make sanity checks, actually, because this is an unfun thing enough. To see.
Are you sure it's not just Hank?
Hank. No, I'm pretty sure it's all of you.
No, that's a failure for Hank. That's a success for Benedict.
Let's see how this goes.
Holy shit!
Oh, a success for Benji.
Benedict has 63.
At a negative 10. At a negative 10 for Benji. Because remember,
yeah, he's still
Benji
good.
Is sleepy.
He's still good.
I did not do the negative 10, but I got a 5 under 31.
Okay,
so I'm safe.
You would have succeeded. Okay.
You guys see that? That's some crazy shit.
So who failed?
Yes. Just another Wednesday. Benji, just another Wednesday.
Like, I imagine the two of you, like, imagine Benedict and Benji kind of avert their eyes to the floor, just like, nope.
Meatball. Meatball.
Nope. Hank, you turn and shine the light back, like, or maybe even Hank turns all the way, kind of, you know, and Hank, this is probably a survival instinct for Hank. He's going to turn and face the threat, right? You know, that's very Hank. So, do you want to roll the d4 or do you want me to do it?
Go ahead and do it, Joe.
Okay. Let's see what we get. A 1.
Oh.
You can take 1 sanity damage. For all Hank, where is Hank on sanity?
Just 38. His breaking point's at 30.
Okay. Yeah, because you guys got a little back. Okay, Hank is still not well.
Benedict's gonna turn back to Hank and, like, he's gonna have his hands on his hip. He'd be like, God damn it, Hank. What do you think that thing's actually gonna come back now?
I don't know. I heard it in my ear, though, and I was sorry. I might have. Did something a little brash. Does Hank see anything? Did it leave anything behind?
No, it does not.
I thought he was going to leave something, and that's why, but...
No, you hear the sound of, you know, where before, you know, it had been like that gentle kind of, you know, wooden wind chime knocking sound kind of coming toward you. It is definitely not that now. Like, I mean, you hear it kind of... You hear the sound of, I don't know how else to call it, like a wooden skittering. But it definitely sounds like more how about this, anybody want to make an intelligence check? They really want to listen hard.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Benji will do that.
Absolutely.
And
not.
It's a success. 53 under 75.
Benji, as you listen, you're that's not the sound of just two legs. That's
more legs.
That's
the sound of a lot more. Of a lot more mannequin legs than two.
I'm thinking big old mannequin centipede made of Carcosian cloth.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's what I'm
thinking
too. Towards.
Like, it's long,
but it's got
like
a
right
thumb
up to the shoulder
on the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a finger Amazing. Puppet.
Like yeah, like a big end, old finger like, puppet with a mask on it.
Come and see, Hank Ellis. Come and see. but yeah, so you guys are just standing here now. I will say that unless I'm mistaken, you guys don't have all of the flashlight in the world.
Are you doing a battery check right now?
Yeah.
Roll the battery check.
Because I will say that you recently destroyed one of your lights, but I will say that the battery is probably still intact. In that, because it was a battery powered headlamp, right?
Or was it an oil lamp?
I think it was a battery. We're going to say it was battery. I don't recall now. So yeah. But I think that.
What are we going to do? Does it. Hank, you've scared off the only way that we had to get out of this place. What are you thinking now?
Well, I do appreciate that tone, Benedict. But. I'm sorry. Maybe I was a little jumpy. Maybe we should try it again. Or we could start walking in the direction of this familiar.
Can we see any tracks on the ground? Any way to actually follow it?
No, that's going to be a fruitless venture. Everything here's stone. You know, like it's not like. There's not like an ooze. Do you want Maybe it to ooze? Should. Is that what you're asking? You want it to be gross too?
Just a little
too?
Bit on the ceiling.
Okay, just enough.
Benedict, maybe we can at least see in the direction that it was quickly pulled away from us. Maybe we should walk in that direction a little bit, and if we don't find any new paths, turn off the light again.
Benji?
Hank, we ain't got no direction here. I think we just gotta sit in the dark and let it see if it comes back.
You sound crazy.
Well, I ain't the one that just killed our only lead in this labyrinth.
Touche.
No, you killed someone else. An innocent man. No.
I'm gonna let that go.
He brings that shit back.
Benji brandishes his pickaxe.
Rain that no. shit in, guys. Yeah. Okay. Hank,
as you guys are having this conversation, Hank, you begin to see the first flickers of your lamp.
Okay. Hank.
The first dying Hank's flickers.
Shit. Hank, give me that. Let the adult hold the flashlight. You can come here. You can hold my hand. We can hold hands together. We can try this again.
Yes.
Sound good?
That's just a running high.
No, it doesn't sound good. You can have my light. It is a group decision. I'll sit in the dark and wait for this centipede thing, puppet to come back.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't know it's a centipede.
Hank, That's would you feel decided. Better it's a if you had your back against a wall? Like, do you need to have some safety behind you?
Maybe so. And Hank goes up against the wall and just, like, you know, has his gun out. He's like, are y'all ready?
No, no guns. Drop the light. No, Hank, put that away. This is not a gun situation, I don't think.
Can we just bring it in for a second? This is a fucked up situation. Let's just bring it in, put our heads together, and figure this shit out, right? Group huddle?
We don't have time for this. Let's just do this. Wall and lights off.
Okay. I just need to know what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Hank's going to turn off the light again. And we can huddle in the dark.
All against right, the wall.
Edgy, what is... us whispering isn't going to deter that song from coming back or something else.
Does...
Wise man once told me that sometimes inaction is an action in and of itself.
I'm already sorry about this group huddle.
I already dislike this group huddle. All right. Okay, so you guys are going to find yourself a wall. and kind of says, are you just going to sit with your backs to it, or, you know, or just
stand
guns out, ready to blast anything you see?
Hank's not going to blast anything he sees, but he definitely doesn't want this thing creeping up behind him again.
Benji's just waiting. Hopefully, in the dark, the psalm will come back. I don't know.
Yep. Benedict is going to mutter under his breath, like, Hank, you better goddamn apologize to that thing if it comes back.
That'll fix it. All right. Okay, so you turn off the lights. You guys turn off the lights, and I know Brad and Dace will know what I'm talking about. Jean, have you ever been underground in a place that is not lit?
Yeah. It's not nice.
Like, I'm like,
didn't you and Jess go to Ruby Falls when you're in Chattanooga? Mm-mm. No?
That was with, I think, Jonathan.
Yeah. But like you've been in a place like either in a cave or like maybe in like an underground tunnel, like where there is no light.
So dark,
and you know, for anyone,
you do this and there is no hand in front of your face.
Yeah. That you can literally wave your hand in front of your face. I don't know what Brad's camera's doing. But you know, and for anyone who hasn't never done that, like, you know, there is a level of darkness that is so truly beyond, you know, the human ability to perceive anything. And it's hard to find it a lot of times. But like when you guys turn off the lights, that's what this is. This is very much a, you know, hand at your nose, cannot see anything. And not only that, but there is this kind of almost low hum, you know, like the longer you sit in the dark, it's almost this low hum that seems to, like, you don't know if maybe there is like some far away source of this, and it's just, you know, echoing and kind of spreading throughout this rocky tomb almost, or if it's like actually coming from beneath you or above you. Like, who can even
can
say?
We feel it?
It doesn't really.
No, we're up against the wall. Can we feel it?
No, it's not like it's vibrating. You know, it's not, you know,
it's
extreme enough to
vibes.
Be like vibrating things, but. Yeah, it's just like it's this is low, barely audible hum. Or hell, maybe it's even a trick of the mind to try to fill the space, you know, like in an absolute absence of sound. I'm gonna say that after a while, you think that you hear the sound of steps. Now, before, when you'd heard the waiter from afar, his steps were snappy, precise. You know, he's wearing like a pair of dress shoes. You know, they have hard soles on them, so they're very sharp. Like the sounds of, the, you know, someone walking in very dressy, hard-soled shoes on a hard floor. You hear what sounds like walking, but it is a more of a random and shuffling kind of walk. And every now and then you'll hear like a step, step, step. And there'll be like a bit of a pause and then step, step. And there might even be just the slightest. Actually, everyone give me an alertness check. How about that? This would be a good time to use that alertness.
Okay.
Failure.
Failure.
And failure all across the board. Great.
So you guys just hear this kind of coming, and it sounds again like it's far away, but it sounds like it's getting a little closer. What I need to know, it sounds like it's coming towards maybe you guys are kind of in like a small chamber or a hallway or something, you know. There's lots of tunnels kind of going every way. What are you guys gonna do? Like, as you guys are getting, you hear this kind of, sounds like it's coming closer. It's not beelining towards you or anything, but.
Should I wait? Just turn on the light when whoever this is gets closer?
No. No, Hank, let's not do that again. Maybe we should just keep quiet.
No lights. No lights, Hank. It needs to be dark.
You just want to let him
find...
pass.
Maybe.
Let's just see what happens.
Okay. You guys wait here, and you're, like, I imagine you guys are all, like, kind of plastered up against this wall, kind of standing yeah. back.
Yeah.
And again, like, you're like, a little kind of chamber, a little bit of a wider spot. It's not really a room, necessarily, just a bit of a wider spot in the tunnel. And you do, after a while, it becomes very clear that this thing has kind of entered into, we'll say that, you know, slightly to you guys is right, there's, you know, an entrance, and this thing has kind of, whatever this is, has entered into this little alcove that you guys are in. And you hear it kind of sounds like it almost like hits the wall, like on the far side, you know, it sounds like someone is like kind of stumbling slowly through this. And maybe as you guys are sitting here just in the complete dark, and I imagine being quite still, you hear almost like a gurgle, like emit.
Oh, like, okay, go ahead.
What were you thinking?
Like right a there? Drowning gurgle?
No. I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at. No, not that. Like, it's hard to make out, but it's just kind of like a visceral, gurgly sound that sounds like a person is making.
It's a human.
And it sounds... And again, it doesn't seem like they're coming towards you necessarily. It sounds like they're kind of like they're following the far wall, almost.
Should say something.
No, I think we should just follow it.
Shh. I shush you both. Did it?
You shush them?
I shush them.
Okay. Whatever, whoever this is, it sounds like they're going to start to leave out one of the other doors. And maybe you even hear a vaguely feminine kind of... like kind of groan.
Gotta say something.
It's a girl. Okay, say something. You! Are you okay?
Okay.
Benedict is... If it's a girl, then he's gonna... That's...
The sound... This thing. The sound stops. You know, if there was, like, a vague groan, like, it kind of stops. Are you gonna turn the light on?
Sure.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No. Hank. God damn it, Hank.
All right, I won't.
No, yeah, you can't. What would
Hank
do?
Hands off the
chest
piece.
Would he do it?
Would Hank do it?
Would Hank do it?
Yeah, would Hank do it? After we just told him not to. He probably would.
Yes.
He probably fucking would.
Roll me a luck roll real quick. That's you. We're gonna say the over 50 is. Okay, that's unlucky. I'm going to tell you what the unlucky thing here is. I was going to roll and see if your... I know what's going to happen. Your light shines upon this person. And you see before you... One of you, I think it was Hank... immediately feels like you've seen this before. It's a woman. She's wearing a white button-up shirt. And it looks like she has received a massively violent wound to her face and chest.
Good God.
This is very, very much like what you had seen when Hank was shot and killed. And as the light shines on her, you realize immediately that this gurgling sound is the sound of blood pouring out of this wound her, like, upper chest.
Right. Hank's holy shit. Ma'am.
And she hits the ground. She turns, and her eyes are wide, and she hits the ground like knees, chest. More like knees, face. Just like blam, blam. And she's got down. Hank, you feel like you have... I think you guys had an experience previously where I think Hank was in... When you guys were in the missing room in the Boxer Hotel. And Hank had seen... Or someone, I think it was Hank, had seen what appeared to be a woman who had also suffered some type of gunshot wound to her chest and face.
Can we stabilize her?
Hank.
Can we, like, help her?
Yeah, Hank will definitely go up and turn her over and see if she's still alive, if there's anything he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a big no, buddy.
She's like, straight dead now.
She is fucking, like, and you don't even know, like, how, there's no way she could have possibly have been walking around. I will say, and we are going to need a sanity check for this, guys.
Okay, I think we can save her.
Failure. God damn it.
Then she's going to roll a first aid.
he's like pushing her chest, and blood's just pushing out of her chest. As he oh,
like every time you do it, there's like a little jet that comes up and hits him in the face.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Benedict's the only one that succeeded.
All right, you other two can take one damage. Is anyone? No. Benji succeeded. No, Benji failed his Benji first aid. He doesn't save
his
her.
His hand slips and goes into the wound.
Yeah, I can save her.
He like puts his finger in the bullet wound. He's like, I don't know what to do.
Oh God, Benji, stop doing that.
Blood covered hands. He just wipes his face and he's covered in blood.
I can save her.
He just looks crazy, like about blood on his face. He's like,
yes.
He turns to the others. Yeah. I can save her.
I guess, kind of horrified. He's had two Sandy losses back to back. Just like staring at Benji, like shaking his head, and he's will
face covered with blood. Yeah.
If you took Sandy damage from violence, make sure you tick a box for this. If you took that Sandy damage, I think so. Only Hank. Is Hank already immune to violence?
He's immune to helplessness.
Okay. Okay. No. Here. Tick a box. Yeah. Tick a box by violence.
And Hank will do a search just to see if she has anything on her purse.
She got any loot?
Gold. Gold, man.
Gold.
Hank, you're a stone cold killer, man. Didn't you realize this light has now killed two people?
Right.
I'm taking your torch after this.
Yeah, so you you're going to look through her stuff. I want to find real quick a name for you. Because you do find something.
Oil man. Son HW.
Yes, here we are. You find a badge. You find a badge. This is, I don't remember what city it is, but you find a badge, and there is an ID inside this badge, kind of, you know, bifold. You see the name Geneva Brown.
Does
that mean anything to y'all? I don't think I recognize that one. I
don't think that means anything.
What kind of ID is it?
Like I said, it's like a police ID.
She's got like police gear on, or no?
No, but you know, even looking at her now, you're like, kind of smells like a Fed. Well, you will say she's like some type of federal agent. You know, kind of like her clothes.
Maybe it's another agent, possibly. I'm not sure. Take a look at this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He passes the ID around.
Yeah.
Not having any luck with the light off or on. Gotta do something. Otherwise, we might end up like her, whatever got her in this place.
Right.
Is there anything else we can
need a plan.
Do right now? Yeah. Benji, what are you thinking? Are those drugs kicking in yet from that little tasty aperitif?
And Benji looks back at you, blood smeared on his face, and he's like, intentions matter. I think we need to think.
Are we going to be thinking in the light or the dark? Because I think that battery's about to run out.
What the fuck can we do? That goddamn labyrinth. We don't know where we are. We don't know where we're going.
It's up to you. We've tried my route, just searching through here with the light. We tried Benedict sitting here in the dark. Now it's your turn to
come up with something. We did not try Benedict sitting in the dark, Hank. To be clear, you failed at trying Benedict sitting in the dark. Twice.
Well, here's the light then, damn it. And he gives you the light.
Thank you. And it probably at that point like starts to flicker and go out.
We need a sort of a
meditative
state.
I will say that, like, you know, if you guys look around, you guys have seen little bits of detritus here and there. You could probably try to burn something for light if you wanted to. I'll say one of you has a lighter. I think Benji for sure has a lighter. And so, like, you guys could try to make fire as well on the way, but your light is definitely starting to fail.
Let's try this, more time.
Dire. This is so. We're just to frame the situation. We're lost as fuck in an unfathomable labyrinth, and we don't even know, like, what are we doing.
All right.
Hank, I think we just need to try keeping our light off for long enough for something important to happen. Benji took some weird drugs. He had some insights from that weird waiter. I don't know if any of this makes sense, but I think we just need to follow. I think I know. This sounds crazy. Hank, look at me. We may have to just follow Benji.
Oh, God.
And I think Benji is just like,
he's just covered in blood, like probably licking his hands at this point.
All right, but before we do that, Hank will, before this light goes out, try to pick up some, like you said, detritus, something that might be burnable in case of an emergency. Like stuff in his pocket, or, you know.
Well, you know, like, you know, there, like, in there, you, every now and then you might come across like a piece of wood. Just kind of like sitting somewhere, you could like maybe vaguely do like a weird torch thing. Even this person, this woman, like she has a shirt and socks. She's flammable. Like you could take those. She's flammable. You could just drag her along, as you know, as you burn her.
I'm not gonna brace the dead. I'll just rip my own shirt if it comes. But Hank will gather something burnable in case of emergency. All right, Benji, you got any ideas?
Yeah. We got to sing. We got to sing the blues.
You got to sing the blues.
Ain't nothing else to do in a time like this. You familiar with R.L. Burnside?
Yeah.
All right.
Turn off the light, Benedict. Let's give
Benji... Shut their lights off.
Let's give Benji's... voice a try. Andre something.
Benji, this is so absurd. Benji will start singing an R.L. Burnside song. Well, if I can't come in, let me lay down.
So let me be clear here. So you guys are not searching. You're going to continue to sit here, but instead of being quiet, you're going to sing.
Correct.
Yes.
That seems to be the plan.
Accurate.
And
you, the way you Benji's say it convoluted makes it sound mind. Absurd, but this is accurate.
he's sort of, this is almost like a ritual. He's trying to conjure
Yeah.
The Sombeck, like, in these weird places, intentions matter, and Benji is just like, this is how he meditates.
Roll a power roll for Benjamin.
Met his initial, like, encounter, right? With doing the deal with the devil or whatever it was at the crossroads.
Yeah.
We are fucking... Okay, success on the power roll.
Nice.
60 on 60.
That 60 is... on 60.
All right.
The power of Arnold Burnside.
You know, it's funny, Jean, that you mention the crossroads. You guys are sitting here, and at first you think what you're hearing is the echoey sound of Benji's singing. You know, and maybe you guys try to sing along at first. I don't know if either of you know the words, but after a while you just kind of let Benji go to it. Maybe there's even a part of you guys that's like, you know, Benji is like a professional. He's an artist, you know, like he is a professional, you know. He's like, you know, maybe that even after a while, you know, there's like even a part of you that maybe even forgets you're sitting in a dark tunnel, you know, as you're listening to Benji sing, and as this the voice carries and echoes, you know, and it gives it a haunting but almost more, I don't know what I even call it, like a more impactful quality in a way. As his voice kind of bounces off and down the chambers. At first you think you're hearing an echo. But then you hear it maybe hit a little bit of a different crescendo, or just a little bit of a different harmony than Benji. And there's a moment where Benji, you're singing, and you do hear, you know for sure that this is not you, and maybe Benji stops singing, and you guys hear this other voice kind of like serenading from down and away.
Yeah, and it's slow,
and it slowly gets to the end of one of the lines, and it trails off, and you hear a chuckle, a low chuckle in the darkness. Okay. Benji Potts done come a long way from home.
Oh no, shit.
And you hear it reverberate back and forth, and you hear, You think you want to meet him? The king?
Oh.
Well, boy, here's your chance. And at that, the entire room is filled with a deafening sound of a gong that rattles so hard you can feel it in your bones and in the stone around you. All three of you reflexively go down to your knees and cover your ears. It's so, so insanely loud.
Jesus.
And you hear this chuckling continues. Oh, he's coming. He's coming for you, Benji Potts. You asked for it. And that's probably a good place for us to stop on this one.
What?
You did this to yourself.
What the fuck? Oh.
What a...
Wow.
I'm speechless.
All right.
It worked. I'll never doubt Benji again.
Oh, it did something.
The power of the blues and boogie woogie.
All right, guys.
What the fuck, man?
Oh, man. Hey, listen, we can ask ourselves what the fuck here in a little bit when we continue playing.
Okay.
Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's always good to have you along for the ride. You want to get these week early, hit up the Patreon. It's just $3. It really helps us out, keeps us going.
But if you're not going to do that, hey, tell a friend about us. Tell someone who has never heard about us. Tell us, hey, these guys have a cool adventure going on. You should get over there and check it out.
They sing the blues.
They sing the blues sometimes.
You know, also, Steve can check another one off of his bingo box. Because we literally didn't leave this fucking hallway.
Oh, yeah!
No, well, we can... to our credit, we're in a labyrinth. Really big one. We're okay. In a labyrinth.
Yeah, it's different. But yeah. Leave us a like or a view wherever you are. Really helps. Like, just helps people find us. But yeah, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
And for those of you watching us live, stand by. We shall return imminently. We're going to take a quick break. For those of you watching and listening later, thank you so much for joining us. It is great to do this with you. And we will catch you next time. And of course, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.